We are very excited about episode 67 as we welcome Dave from Par for Success to the podcast. Par for Success is all about golf performance, fitness, and physical therapy. Their Instagram handle is at Par for Success. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on.
We should clarify it's par with the number four.
Yes.
Yeah. Not like the pun where it's F-O-R-E. That would have been a good one.
Par too. Number sign with number four success.
Yeah. There we go. Absolutely. I don't want to send them to the wrong place. I don't know if there's another one, but I don't want to send them there.
Thank you for that. Dan, can you tell us a little bit like the story and how Par for Success got started?
Yeah, well, so our foundation is in physical therapy. So we started off as just one person, our founder, Chris. He started off working in a van pretty much that was located right behind a driving range. So he's basically at a country club at a driving range doing free movement screens. When he'd see people on the course, like slicing a ball 30 yards to the right, he'd just say, "Hey, come on over and let me check you out for a second. I bet I can help you." And so that's kind of how he started.
Would love me.
Yeah. He would fix the slicer right up, no problem.
That's really how he started, just kind of watching people on the driving range and telling them he could help them out, like beyond just your typical swing training fix. He was kind of taking a different approach of more let's look at this more of a with a medical mind and see how your body's moving. And it kind of just grew from there over the course of years, and it grew slowly, growing from his van to like a small little shed, and then from a shed to where we are now, which is a warehouse, a pretty large warehouse in a typical physical therapy type setting. And now it's growing to an online programming and a brand new facility coming up.
Very cool. Is that new facility going to be in that same area as well, or are you guys trying to branch out somewhere else?
No, we'll still be in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're just building a standalone building from the ground up. So it's kind of going to fit our vision of what we want a golf physical therapy and fitness place to look like.
So you kind of answered my question about where you're located. But like how many employees do you have staffed there to location?
On location, I think we have 20 total now, maybe a little under 20.
That's then a decent we have employees.
Yeah. Yep. And then we have about, I think, 15 online coaches at this point.
So could you walk us through, like, I make an appointment, I come in, can you kind of walk us through, like, the steps of what kind of would take place? So, like, hey, I have a bad slice. That's not a secret to anybody at this point. And if it is, I have a bad slice. Kind of, you know, I walk in the door, what would happen?
Sure. Well, what we would do is, first, just talk to you, like, what are your goals related to golf? Because some people, you know, for someone, it's, I want to fix my slice and that's the only thing I care about. Other people are, I want to play golf as long as possible and that's the only thing I care about. So first thing is just establishing what your goals are as a golfer. From there, once we've determined your goals, we take most people through a golf performance evaluation is what we call it. So just broadly, what we do is take a look at their mobility related to the golf swing. So there are certain movements we know correlate with specific positions that your body needs to reach in a golf swing. So that's one thing we look at. Another thing we look at is strength specific to golf. So both upper body and lower body strength outputs. And then on top of that, we have pretty sophisticated force plate sensors and we have cameras set up so that we can actually take a look at your swing and just visualize how the things we saw with your mobility and strength reflect in your golf swing. And then we build a program from there.
Okay. Very interesting. I like that. It's very cool. Like, who's your target audience? Is it like high school golfers, collegiate golfers? Is it for any like weekend warrior? What's the target audience?
Demographic.
I should say.
You know, we definitely work with a lot of younger students who are trying to build strength and mobility to go play in college and potentially pro at some point. But I think our primary focus is just helping the amateur golfer. you know, there's the professionals have their strength coaches and their trainers on staff that they can pay a lot of money. And while we want to help professionals too, I think our focus is really on how can we help just like the everyday golfer improve their game or get out of pain or whatever goal they're wanting to meet. That's really our demographic.
Okay. So like if someone's a 15 handicap, you're not going to be like, oh, sorry, you're not going to cut it for us.
No,
maybe I'm not walking through that door.
That's probably the average of what we see is like the typical plays once or twice a week and just like trying to figure out what they can do to help.
So you brought up the pros. Is that something that do you guys help professional golfers? I know you'd mentioned like a lot of them kind of are with that professional golfer, but do you guys travel or do anything like that? Is that something you guys come across?
We do work with a couple professional golfers. We're not traveling with them. What they'll do is really, it's just a few of them that live in the area near us. We'll see them when they're in the area, like in their off season. If there's any specific goals they have, like improve strength in a certain area, or if they just need to hit the ball farther, we'll go through speed training with them. But then during the season, we do a lot of virtual coaching. So like if they have a gym at their hotel and they're like, what the heck do I do today? We'll spend an hour with them and go through like, okay, here's what we should address today. And so that's part of what a program is for like those professional athletes.
It's really cool that it's like customized and personal based on the person. And I understand it has to be because we're all different golfers, right? But I still think it's very fascinating to take the time with somebody, go, okay, this is, I don't want to say issue, but like, this is what's holding you back as a golfer, stuff like that. I think it's really interesting. I work in the running industry. So like we do a gait analysis when you walk in, stuff like that. I always, you know, wonder like, hey, what are your goals as a runner? You know, you came in here for help today. Mm-hmm. Like, well, where can I take you from this? So it kind of reminds me of what I do on a daily basis, but a little bit cooler.
You mentioned,
I shouldn't say cooler because my boss doesn't make it mad. I don't know if he even listens. He knows I do this, but like, it's more in depth than what I do.
Yeah.
But it's cool for my brain to like relate it.
Yeah. On your website,
I think it talks about like, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
It goes hand in hand. I love it.
Just buy Hokas. That's all you need.
So on your website, it talks about, you know, adding yards and adding years to your life. Like in a nutshell, they both sound great. And that's kind of like what everyone wants. They want to play longer, hit the ball further. Like, how do you make that happen? Like, I mean, like what's without kind of going into great detail, like what's the most common thing that you find for like the common golfer, the average golfer, that's the issue? Is it like for me, like I'm a 10 handicap, but I'm 33 years old. However, I do have neck back issues itself, but is it the swing speed? Is it the lack of not stretching? Like what do you see that's most common?
You're old.
I'm getting old. I know.
Well, I think that kind of addresses part of it is as we get older, if we're not training certain motions that are specific for golf, it's kind of the old philosophy, use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And what we find is if you don't train these motions outside of golf, so if you're just getting out there once or twice a week and trying to put your body into these positions, people typically over the long term will present with some sort of ache or pain or injury that shows up at some point because of those deficits. If there's one spot that like we always see, I mean, a lot of people don't pass this test is their hip internal rotation, it's called. So that's, you know, if you can imagine yourself crossing your foot on your knee, like just sitting, that would be hip external rotation. Okay. Most people, if they have back issues, like low back issues, they'll do a lot of hip external rotation stretching. Hip internal rotation is actually your foot traveling out the other way, kind of like towards the outside
direction. Sure.
So when you're swinging a golf club, it requires actually a pretty large amount of hip internal rotation and not very much hip external rotation. And it's really just a movement that we don't train very much. And that's one of the things we typically see a lot of is yeah, they try to do our test and they're like, I can't even move my foot to the side. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to learn so much tonight.
I'm so excited. I made some notes like I always do. And I was telling Dom, like, honestly, so I golf typically one to two times a week too, as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes more. But you know, with the neck and back and all that, I normally will do a little stretching with the golf club. And then I'll throw on a little fast freeze, a biofreeze on the injured spots. And that's kind of my warm up, you know? And I think that's pretty common for most casual golfers. So
90%.
So if we sign up, and we'll ask kind of more in depth questions as far as like the sign up process and pricing and all that, we can go through that a little bit later, but, you know, if I do sign up, or are those, do you offer like different stretches and different things that we should be doing on a daily basis and before a round of golf? Is that kind of what you'd offer if the whole hip situation on my end, if I can't?
Yeah. So I think the one thing that we tell all people to do is just go online and take our free assessment, because that's where you can identify, like, all right, this is where I need to stretch out right now. Like, you, if your shoulder moves fine back here, well, we're not going to have you do tons of shoulder stretching to warm up. So the main thing is take the assessment so that you know, all right, this is where I actually need to warm myself up, rather than going through like a mindless shoulder circle when your shoulder actually moves fine and your hip is the thing that really actually kind of needs to warm up a little bit. So it's very much assess and then treat that area where you assess that you have some sort of issue going on. So there are tons of different stretches. I mean, we could go through 100 of them, but the main point is you need to assess where you need to be stretched or where you need to warm yourself up, and then complete those exercises after that.
It makes sense. 'Cause I'm kind of like,
it's super hard for me to sit here and not.
Yeah, like I'm ready to like start stretching right now.
know.
Like, all right, just give me a couple of different stretches. But again, like kind of a creature of habit, like growing up playing sports, like as you're younger, you know, I didn't stretch very much. But if I did, mm-hmm. like in practice, it's like those same routine stretches. And it's like, well, you take that same kind of like philosophy, like to the golf course, like you said, like you're stretching your shoulders and really your shoulders are fine. It could be your lower legs, could be your hips, your whatever mm-hmm. it might be. And you're kind of not really doing much by stretching your shoulders in the morning.
I love stretching.
I think that was my biggest thing. It is. And like, I always like when I was younger, I never really had any issues. So like, it was like, I could play basketball mm-hmm. for 7 hours a day and do it constantly. And I barely stretched. And now that I'm getting older, I'm like, I really regret. I wish I would have stretched a lot more, because I'm not very.
There's a stretch lab that just opened up across the street from me at work. And I'm like, I want to go in there and just tell them to like bend me like a pretzel and just leave me there for a little bit.
Exactly. It's key. It's important. And I think that's a big component to golf. And I am.
Well, and we live in a world where the funny memes are, you know, you run late to your tee time. You don't warm up. You just go play.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
And I feel like
I've been guilty of it.
Oh yeah. We all have, but I feel like it's just too accurate that people rely on that and then they get hurt.
Yeah. Trying to like stretch while you're on the red light at the red light.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the car, you know, but I mean, you should probably get there early and stretch.
100%.
If that's all you take from this episode, that's good.
I think a good warm up. Definitely. I think most people they get there 5 minutes beforehand, are four over through the first three holes, and then I feel good now.
Yeah,
exactly. Feel attacked.
Seriously though, like I always say, like I've preached this before, like golf should be like, they should have at least like three or four warm-up holes, right? Because mm-hmm. I feel like most people are start to like warm up by like, you know, the back nine golfer or whatnot, but it's like take like three or four holes to get ready and you're good to go. So again, we kind of want to ask some other questions as far as like the company itself. So you specifically, you are a physical therapist, correct?
Yeah, okay, I'm a physical therapist.
Okay, so like you have, there's PTs on site, and then you also have some, is it like a strength and conditioning coaches as well? Like what are the different job descriptions in the facility? And like, do you guys kind of like, you start kind of where you're at and then have people do some different stretches, lifts, exercises? Sure.
Well, again, it definitely depends on what they're coming in to see us for and what their goals are. if you come into the facility in person, and not everyone does at this point, a lot of our business is virtual, but if you come into the facility, you will always be assessed by a physical therapist. So we're taking you through that initial golf performance evaluation, assessing you piece by piece. Just because we have that movement and medical background, like if there is anything medical going on, we're spotting it there. But let's say it's a junior who's just training to hit the ball farther, be more fit for golf. Like they're not really dealing with any sort of injuries. It's just, I need to get stronger. I need to get my mobility as good as possible. And I need to be out driving my competition so that I'm getting a college scholarship. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to send them with the strength coach, because the physical therapist, maybe we could do like a swing training session, but mostly they have swing coaches for that. They just need to go hit the gym, lift weights, get as strong as possible so that, you know, over the course of the season, they're not wearing down, and so that they're just really stronger than their competition, because it is very much a 1v1 sport. And if you're hitting the ball farther, if you have a faster swing, you're typically going to perform better than your competition.
Makes sense.
Have you seen that? I don't know how to word it. Have you seen that aspect of golf kind of grow since DeChambeau has like,
Like the long drive?
Yeah.
Like up a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
Like younger kids wanting to get a little bit bigger because of DeChambeau.
Definitely. I think it all started with Tiger. Like Tiger just came out and was this freak athlete with huge muscles and was hitting it farther than everyone. And people had to catch up with that. So it started with him, and then like other guys like Rory came along and he was lifting heavy. And I think Bryson took it to the extreme level.
Of that's for sure.
Not only lifting, but putting on 50 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. And it worked for a little bit, but I mean, that's not how we train people. We don't beef them up. We just try to get them in fast, in good shape, but able to move fast, I think, is what we kind of preach for speed.
How long does the assessment take? The initial assessment, is it because you said you can come in and do it, but obviously it's online as well. Is it mm-hmm. just like a questionnaire type of deal?
So the free online assessment that anyone can do at our website, and I think we have a link for your listeners. I think it's parforsuccess.com/savepar. Okay. So you can access it there. Or you can just go to our website and check it out. It takes about maybe 10 minutes to do, but it's just the mobility screen. So if you're just doing the free mobility screen, it's about 10 minutes and you can identify stuff right there. Most people are going to have that probably one area where they're like, I'm kind of short on this one. Now the full assessment that we do in person takes 90 minutes, because it's goal setting, it's mobility screen, it's power screen, and it's a swing assessment. So that just takes time.
Do you guys have an app, or is it all like, so like if me and Dom did sign up and we did our assessment online here, is that something that you just, everything is right on your website, or do you have like an app that you can track everything like with your goal, if you did set goals?
Yeah. So if you're not in North Carolina and interested in what we do in terms of fitness for golf, what we do is we do have an app. It's called EverFit, and we have virtual fitness and strength coaches that kind of do what we would do in person, except with you one-on-one. So basically we set up an initial coach call where the stuff we would do in person, our coach would do with you virtually on like a Zoom call. So it's an hour long. It's establishing goals. It's doing a full evaluation that the best we can with the equipment that you have available. And then it's creating a program from that point on. And then basically you have a coach one-on-one who is sending you all the exercises you need. You're forced to pretty much do a half hour call at least once every 2 weeks to check in and sort of hold you accountable. Cause that's part of it, is you need accountability of someone saying, are you doing your stuff? I can see we can track if you're doing your workouts or not. So we can see like, okay, you skipped Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. What's going on now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's how we program things virtually. And it's been pretty successful.
During COVID, has it been like more successful with like the virtual? You know, obviously it's affected a lot of companies with not being able to like go in facilities or whatever it might be. But is that something that you guys have seen kind of a spike? I mean, with being able to go right online and be able to help people with their swing in there.
Well, that was kind of when Chris, the founder, started to develop this idea, because he saw that there was a need, really, because people weren't leaving their homes. They had their gym equipment at home. They were all starting to play more golf because it was the only thing you could do. And it was like there was this big kind of gap. And I think Chris had the great idea of putting together this program that no one had really done quite the way we're doing it right now. And I think it filled a need that was clearly there. So it really started during the pandemic, and it's just grown exponentially since it.
Yeah. It's seen that you guys nearly have helped over 5,000 golfers, I think.
I think it was like, around.
5, yeah. It was like
4,800 or whatever.
Yeah. It was over 4,800, but I think it's pretty cool that you have a little stat on the website, but
yeah,
that's pretty impressive. And you guys have been helping for, was it since 2000? What was the 13. Year? It was 2013. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, and it's nice that it's virtual because we don't live anywhere near North Carolina.
Yeah. And that is the beautiful thing of like social media technology. I mean, you can literally reach anyone from anywhere in the world, really, which is very cool. I mean, we're doing the podcast here, and it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of wild having people on from all over the place. So
kind of wild to have a podcast.
That too.
Like, sometimes I sit down and think about it. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It is very cool. So you're a physical therapist. Like, what is like your ultimate goal at Par for Success? Like, as far as, is your goal like trying to help everyone try to reach their goal? I mean, what is your like personal goal, and like what is the future goal for Par for Success? Like, you guys want to put more branches throughout the United States? Is that something that, you know, that's on the map? What are your thoughts on that?
I think as a company, our goal is really to just help as many golfers as possible. I don't know if the decision has been made to be branching out yet, but our goal is whatever way we can reach as many people as possible and help them. That's really what our mission is. I don't know if there's been decisions on how best for us to accomplish that, but I think the virtual programming is allowing us to do that right now. And that's, we're devoting a lot of resources to that right now. For me personally, it's just to help as many people as I can come into contact with, because I'm only one person. So I just want to, one, help the people that I do work with and make sure that, one, they're either getting out of pain, or two, reaching whatever other goal that they want to accomplish. I mean, I am a physical therapist, so I do see a lot of pain. But beyond that, I just want to help people reach that point of their golf game where they're just enjoying it. Because you see a lot of people who come in and they've, for whatever reason, hit the point where it's not as fun for them anymore. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's, if I can change that for them, that's the most rewarding thing.
When you talk about pain, do a lot of these people come in with pain because of golf, or is it they want to play golf and it's pain related to something that has nothing to do with golf, but it can affect your golf game ultimately?
It's often both. It's probably 50-50, honestly. Okay. About 50% are like, when I go and play golf, my shoulder or my back or my hip is just killing me by the end of it. I can't play 2 days in a row. I can't play in any tournaments because the next day I'm so sore. So that's about 50% of the crowd. And then the other 50% are like, I've had just back pain for years and I can't even think about golfing, but it's something I want to do again. So it's, you get people on a lot of ends of the spectrum.
Speaking of, like, when you talk about like golf and being in pain after swing club, I think golf is overlooked as far as like, because it's not a really a contact sport, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, like the amount of golf balls that, I mean even high school, college golfers and obviously the professional golfers, like if I could golf every day, I would say like I would golf every day if I could. But if you think about it, like there's so much wear and tear, like it's a sport known to be able to play like your whole life if for the most part. Right. And that's kind of the whole goal. Mm-hmm. But for these professional golfers, I think it's so overlooked of like all the practice rounds they play, all the, just the range balls they hit. I mean, walking the course and walking.
Doing all the dumb stuff with your buddies.
Or that too.
That too.
Yeah.
There's that. That's definitely a component, but it is one of those things that I feel like golf gets overlooked when it comes to injury related type of, you know, sport. It's a sport that really, you shouldn't really have any injuries because you're just hitting a ball and you're walking. So I think it's kind of interesting seeing people being injured from golf versus people that are injured that want to play golf, you know, because it's
just think you're swinging a club anywhere on average from 90 to 110 miles per hour repetitively over the course of like 4 hours, multiple times a week, and then never training your body like that at any other point during the week or during the month. So just for those two times, you are going all out swings and never training for it outside of that. Unless
which is wild. Yeah, and that's wild because I don't ever really think of it that way.
Now I feel bad.
Oh, it's true though. Like, I mean, I try to run quite a bit and it's like, you know, normally when I run, I take a good amount of time to stretch. I do like the things to loosen up my muscles. But when it comes to golf, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do, but I don't think of it that way. I don't think about me putting my body through the gauntlet like that, swing out of my shoes for 3 to 4 hours, you know? So that's an interesting take. I like that. Can you give us a few tips maybe like right off the bat? I know we haven't done any assessment, but maybe for like, just like your most common person that's going to get ready to tee off I know the hip type of deal, that's kind of probably the most common, but is it pretty easy to do some of these stretches that you would suggest?
The stretches are very much, I don't know if I would always do them as like a warm-up type movement, more as I would want people doing them every day. What I think is more important when you get to the golf course is doing stuff to just get blood pumping to your muscles really quickly. So easiest thing you can do is instead of like walking, grabbing your cart, loading your stuff, and then heading right to the tee, if you can just do like a 5-minute brisk walk in some area that pumps your heart rate up and gets blood flowing to your extremities, that's the easiest thing you can do to feel better when you tee off on the first tee. And I don't think anyone really does it.
You know what we could do? You know how we solve that?
You're going to see Derek and I with a beer and a hot dog. Just
No, you should, you know, take this slogan. You just park in the furthest parking spot possible to the clubhouse. So you can
honestly, you should.
Right? Yeah. So
then you're walking, drive the cart up to it. Actually take your bag, walk it up.
Interesting. I like that take. Now I'm going to start parking. And Don's like, what the hell? Why are you parking so far away? No, I'm my brisk walking.
Because I'm here. Alone. I can't question it because I'm a part of the conversation.
Getting my walk in. That's a good answer. I like that.
Old man. Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to keep these joints and muscles and all that flowing. So I'm trying to be able to continue.
I am an athletic specimen.
I think there's also like, if you bring a resistance band and you do just like a pull apart like this, warm up your upper back muscles, and then maybe just do like 10 body weight squats and warm up your leg muscles. I think really when you're at the course, the biggest thing is get your muscles actively warmed up.
Sure.
Whereas some of the stretching is actually better like after the round,
this round
stays in between rounds, so that you're training your body to be mobile for that day that you do get to the golf course.
My friends are dumb and would somehow sabotage my resistance bands. So then they'd snap.
Like just put a little slit.
And they'd be like, dumb. I could see my friends doing that. I love them sometimes.
So I also wanted to kind of mention, because you guys have been named Golf Digest Top 50. For golf fitness training. And then also you guys were like, I believe you were in a, for the World Golf Fitness Summit. I believe you guys, I think, spoke at that as well, which was hosted by Titleist. Can you kind of explain a little bit about that? You guys do a lot of different golf related expos or anything like that, where you're, you know, putting out as much knowledge and information as you can possibly.
I think in the last year, we've tried to put more of an emphasis on that, because we do realize now that there's not really many other businesses or people doing what we're doing. So we're trying to spread the word, like, hey, this is something that can help you. Please listen to us. Which, so in the last year, we've really tried to up the amount of speaking we're doing. Our boss, Chris, works pretty closely with TPI. So he's, if you're aware of it, Titleist Pro Instructional Institute. He's doing a lot of collaboration work with them to try to share some of our knowledge and data with them. And we're really just doing as much as we can to spread the word. So going on podcasts and holding webinars, really anytime someone wants to listen to what we have to say, we'll we'll talk into a microphone.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. And again, I think, like, for me, I'm normally shoot, you know, in the mid 80s, depending on the day. But I think that this is something that doesn't get talked about very often, you know, and I think that's one of the main reasons why we're glad to have you on and talk about this, because we've always mentioned this on a podcast. We like to kind of get different aspects of the golf game, and whether it's a manufacturer, a golf company, of clubs, putters, whatever it might be. But this is one of those things that we're only getting older. We're not getting any younger. And unfortunately, our bodies do tend to break down sometimes quicker than we want them to. And I feel like this is something that definitely gets looked over and should, you know, shave some strokes off the game for sure, especially if you're feeling better. I mean, it's nothing worse than playing golf and you just have like a sore shoulder or whatever, lower back, whatever it might be. So I think this is fantastic. And the fact that you guys have the virtual option, I think that's very cool. Do you have like a package plan? Like how does your prices work as far as if somebody, like if me and Dom did want to sign up, is it, cause I know you'd mentioned like they try to kind of keep on top of you to make sure that you are actually doing your exercises and stretches. How does that work?
Yeah. So what we do is if you're interested in virtual programming, what we do is set you up with just a free call with one of our golf performance coaches, who just goes through part of the assessment with you, similar to like the free screen, and pretty much tries to figure out your goals and see if you're a good fit for what we can offer. Because there are a lot of different programs that range in price from like $40 a month to like, I don't even know, $100 a month.
Okay, so it's kind of a really wide variety of
It depends on what you're looking for and how many touch points you're going to need. And we really, if you do sign up with us, the main thing that we ask is that you give us 3 months to work with you, because we know change doesn't happen overnight. It takes a few months to build on it. And if you don't give us that time, then you're not really giving us your best effort for what we know we can do to help you. So we always say you have to give us at least 12 weeks, no matter which thing you decide to sign up for, whether it's the cheaper option or the one where there's more one-on-one coaching. And we go from there. If you want to continue on with that for a whole year, 2 years, you can pretty much sign up for whatever you want. And it's the programs just vary based on what your goals are.
Interesting. And for the most part, I would say probably, you know, for me, like if I'm going to sign up, the main thing is with my shoulder and my neck pain and all that. Like, obviously I want to get my swing speed up and hit the ball further, just like everyone else. But I would imagine if you do have more pain than just trying to get swing speed, that's probably going to be a little bit more of a longer type of deal, I guess, depending on how your body, you know, reacts to that. But do you tend to see people that are having more injuries go a little bit longer, just because it does take a little bit more time for them to?
Definitely more of an easing in process for people who have had like a history of injury. The really great thing about what the virtual programming offers is because we're a company kind of with physical therapy at the forefront, all of our virtual coaches are strength trainers, but they have access to the physical therapist. So like if something ever popped up where a movement wasn't feeling right, or someone were to like tweak something during their programming, the coach calls up the physical therapist connects with the client and makes sure that they're feeling okay with the part of the program they're on. And we're able to consult and regress and progress a couple things based on how they're feeling. So there is a nice touch point there if any sort of like pain thing does arise.
That's very cool. Yeah. So it kind of goes hand in hand, like with the strength coach they can reach out to. Very cool. Do you guys have at the facility like a simulator or anything that you guys use? I know you said you like to measure like the swing and all that. So you guys have a facility there that has the simulator. So speaking of that, this is a kind of little off topic, but I've asked this multiple times on the podcast, but if you do get a hole in one on a simulator, do you count it as a hole in one?
No. Doesn't count.
Is it a hole in one with an asterisk, or you just don't even bring it up?
You just never bring it up.
Okay. I always like to ask that question when we talk about simulator talk, because
it's like hitting a hole in one on like 2K.
Yeah.
Like you're not gonna
kinda. It is what it is, because you're actually like using the motion. You're hitting the ball, but
you're not gonna go brag to your buddy, "Hey, I hit a hole in one on 2K today."
Yeah. It's almost like embarrassing.
No, but I had to ask. Okay. It was just one of the questions.
What's the most common answer to that?
No.
Most of them say no. We haven't said with an asterisk. But again,
I think they said yes, but you shouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, keep it quiet.
That I think that's the main thing, is you just don't tell people about it. You can enjoy it in your mind.
Yeah. True. So I totally agree. And it's kind of like going back to like par threes. Like some people are like, "Oh, it was a 120 yard par three hole." But at the end of the day, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get in the cup and you're.
Do people really not count par three hole in one?
No, they do. But like I've seen so many people bash people that hit it like an ace on a short par three on a par three course.
Oh, I don't care.
That counts.
That's a different story, right? Because it's outdoor. Yeah. There's obviously a lot more factors in it. So.
Well, generally, par three courses, they don't make them like mini golf where it's easy.
No, I mean, but it's that, it was only 120 yards or whatever. It's like, that's still a hole in one in my book. I don't really care what.
You
don't
count mini golf
hole in ones? No, I don't count mini golf holes. So, Dave, I do want to ask you some like different funny questions. Just like golf related questions, but is there anything else that you might want to like bring up that maybe we had missed as far as asking any of the questions?
Do you want to repeat that link? I was not aware of that was news to me today. I want to make sure that we can throw it in. Yeah.
So the link is parforsuccess.com/savepar.
Perfect. We'll make sure we put that in there.
I was not aware of that. With all my emails, was not aware.
Put that in, it'll link you right to the free assessment that we provide. And what that assessment looks at is the four rotational centers of your golf swing and how you move throughout those rotational centers. So it's pretty eye-opening when you take it. You might find something like, holy crap.
I'm definitely going to take it.
I might take it just to see what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah,
you should.
If it tells me doing everything wrong, I'll be a little upset.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? You should just give up golf.
I'm
just kidding.
I had a coach tell me, he's like, "Hey, you're gripping it wrong." I was like, "Well, how are you going to fix me?
I need help."
He goes, "You see how this guy has 1, 2, 3 knuckles showing?" He goes, you should have like 4. I was like, okay. So now I'm gripping the club like this.
We're self-taught golfers here, so this is the perfect thing for us.
Well, no, it's lessons.
I guess you.
I'm not very good, sure. But took lessons.
I personally have not, but is there anything else? Like, so we just kind of want to keep it fun. There's a couple questions we have, but is there anything else that we might have missed that you might want to mention?
No, go take the assessment. I think that's the most important thing. Is if you want to take anything from this, it doesn't take long. So just take it and see where you stand.
Perfect. We'll make sure to post that as well, and like to get everyone to do that, because I think it's key. Okay, so if you could take two clubs with you to play at your local 18-hole golf course, What two clubs are you taking, and what do you think you'd legitimately shoot on an 18-hole course? So it could be your home course, could be, you know, whatever course it might be, but it's a full 18 holes. You could take two clubs.
Probably 3-wood and 9-iron.
3-wood and 9-iron?
I think I could legitimately shoot in the 90s.
That's pretty impressive.
Because I can hit 3-wood off the tee and off the fairway. And then once I get 160 yards and in, I could pull a 9-iron out and then putt with 3-wood.
See, that's kind of what I think. You got to have that one club that's has that face where you can still at least putt. And I think 3-wood probably would be perfect for that. And you can still get a good distance off the tee. I mean, 3-wood, you can still
putt the ball. Put it out there.
Absolutely. If there's one thing that you could change about golf, what would it be? Could be on like amateur level, PGA Tour, Live Tour level. It could be whatever, just something in general.
I can't say warming up because I think we covered that.
Yeah, we got warming up. That is definitely key, but something else.
I think golf is too expensive. I think there's too high of an entry price-wise to start playing, and that keeps a lot of people out of it. And I think, to me, it's a sport that, like, it's the most fun sport to play. Everyone should play it. But I understand when someone's like, well, it's $1,000 to get new clubs. And then if I want to be decent, $500 for lessons. And then playing golf is like at least $50 to get there. I understand that the price point of entry is pretty high. Once you're in it, you don't care. But
yeah, it's just the initial start of getting in there. And you brought it up earlier with when we talked about COVID, we had the same thing. I mean, there were so many new golfers that picked it up, but I don't know if they're going to put it back down though after the fact. But yeah, it is an expensive sport slash hobby.
Maybe you get a cheap use set from a COVID player. Like they'll throw them away. There you go. Get brand new. Yeah.
What is your favorite go-to golf snack?
Ooh. I mean, snack or like meal?
Let's go both. I want to hear both.
Yeah.
What
are you sneaking in?
Okay. Yeah. Like if you're getting a snack and then you're going to get something at the turn, what are you grabbing?
Well, snack. I always bring just like a little protein bar for a snack. So that I guess that it's just easy and I can put it in a wrapper and it's easy to eat. But meal is always hot dog.
Oh, it's hot dog?
100% of the time.
All right, so I'm definitely in the minority. I'm pretty much just a plain hot dog guy. What do you put on your hot? What's on your hot dog?
He eats them naked.
that's weird.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. But hey, you know what? I don't have to worry about staining my shirt.
I literally have a little hot dog tray.
I know. That's just me. But I want to hear what do you put on your dog?
I mean, if it's just like the basic run of the mill condiments, I'm going ketchup and mustard. But a lot of the places here, they got like tons of hot dog options. And if there's like some sort of chili, pimento cheese, whatever, I'm getting their highest level hot dog.
Okay. So that's kind of more like a chili dog. And I'll definitely do like a chili cheese dog. I'll do something like that.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Are you a sauerkraut relish type guy?
Not really. Yeah, not.
Are you?
Don't love.
Oh
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I asked. Like, if I can put pickles on things, I'm in. If I can put sauerkraut on things, I'm in.
This is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's technically a taco.
What's your take on that, Dave?
Man, I guess if it's one piece of bread, I'd say it's probably more of a taco than a sandwich.
Nelson, okay, so Nelson from Tacos by the Turn. Yeah, or Tacos at the Turn. Don't kill me, Nelson. I'm sorry. He's very adamant that a hot dog is a taco because it's a taco. I mean, it's shaped like a taco.
It does make more sense.
Pretty valid. Yeah, that's a valid answer. Okay, we'll do some rapid fire questions here and we can just wrap it up. But typically they're not really rapid, but for the most part, we'll start off with what is your lowest round of golf?
72, even.
Nice. So even par. Awesome. Which course?
Captain's Course and Brewster Cape Cod.
Okay. Were you just dialed in, obviously?
Yeah, I was just playing golf like 4 or 5 times a week at that time, and I was shooting low scores, and then that round it was, everything clicked.
Sure. Speaking of, what would you rather shoot, even par, or would you rather have a hole in one? I mean, you obviously have a, you might have a hole, I don't know, but if you could have.
The fact that I don't have one makes me say hole in one.
Hole in one.
If I could shoot even par once, I would be thrilled.
See, I think I would almost rather take the even par too, because I mean, for just like an avid golfer like us, I think that's almost more.
Well, impressive. I mean, I've seen you shoot like a 70, whatever.
Shot a 75 was my lowest round. I was dialed in too.
But that's good.
But again,
broke 90 once. So I think I would like to, see, I'm proud of myself. I would like to shoot even par once. I think that'd be super cool. I could live without a hole in one just because I think most people do. But if I could be like, I'll shoot even today, I think I'd be pretty happy.
So with that too, like you could double bogey a hole and then you could just go on some weird tear.
Oh yeah, you could 32 holes. You could get like a weird albatross, which might even be cooler than a hole in one.
That would be
cooler. It's more skilled too.
Yeah.
100%.
It's a more well-rounded game.
Pants or shorts on the course?
Shorts.
Shorts. Hat, bucket hat, or no hat?
Trucker hat.
Trucker hat. Oh, I like that answer. Okay, we haven't had that answer. What driver is currently in your bag?
TaylorMade M2 from 2018, and it sucks, and I need a new one.
What is your favorite style of course? Link style or traditional?
Traditional.
Traditional.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a shoe guy, but I kind of kept this in because we had a shoe person on last time. But like, what is your favorite golf shoe to wear? And if you are a shoe guy, what would be like one of your favorite, like what would be a shoe that you'd love to have a golf shoe, whether it's like a Jordan type of shoe?
What's the Vipers that like the twist that tighten around your foot with the twist knob? What are those called?
Oh, you're talking about that,
I guess. Boa. Oh yeah. The boas. That's what I want. I'm very much like, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on my golf shoes, so I'll get the thing that's on sale at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Which one is the boa? I feel like I've heard of it, but
so the boa is the lacing system. You can push it in and twist, and it tightens.
Okay,
I have issues with them. Just knowing how shoes work, I have issues with it. But I'm trying to like keep that down because I know you're excited about it. I don't want to kill that vibe.
Well, that's what like
the give me some information. Has
something similar too, right?
It's like
the
wire,
disc. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's just,
you don't mind those. I like those.
But no, it's more of like when they're on, when my foot flexes, it digs into me because you can't adjust it.
Okay.
Boa has a patent on it because they use like, I don't remember the terminology, but it's supposed to be like airline strength aluminum and
gotcha. Yeah,
exactly.
Got it.
Interesting.
Yeah, Boa's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think that was cool.
They're
sweet. The convenience is just, I mean, you twist it and you pull it and you're out. They're sweet.
Early morning golf or twilight golf?
Twilight.
My guy.
I love summer nights when it gets dark at 9 p.m. and you go out at 5 and the course is empty. It's my absolute favorite time to play.
Okay. See, I like that. We asked this question a lot. I'm an early morning golf guy, but I do like twilight. Don't get me wrong. But my biggest issue is that when it isn't in your situation, like if it's just there's no one there, like I find it sometimes that I play better like at night. But then there's like several people ahead of me and I know I can't finish. So that's the one reason why like I don't really care for twilight. But if you get it like in the peak season when it's stays light till like 9:30 in the afternoon, then you're fine. But
not like here when it's dark at 4.
Exactly. What is your favorite club in the bag right now?
Probably the three-wood.
Three-wood?
Yeah. I just got that thing dialed in right now. So it feels good.
I honestly thought you were gonna like say something like it's like a swing aid trainer or something. My warm-ups. No, I'm just kidding.
What kind of three wood?
It's like a 2015 TaylorMade burner
that
I had reshafted, and I don't know, I just crush it. So
it's all matters. If it works, man, why change it, right?
I won't change the 2015 TaylorMade burner, but the 2018 M2 driver, I want to throw away.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Favorite golfer?
I mean, beyond the obvious, Tiger. I'd say swing wise, I love Morikawa's swing. I think his swing is just perfect. Just as like fun, I like Rory. I'm always rooting for him when he's in it.
Same.
Why would I guess you're like a Scheffler guy?
I just don't love his swing.
Yeah, he does.
Kind of weird.
I think Rory's probably got like the most, in my personal opinion, I think Rory's swing is probably my favorite. If I could like,
it's so good.
Replicate something
when it's so short and compact.
But Colin, oh yeah, Colin's swing is also fantastic. I like Colin; he's a stud. What's your like the favorite golf course that you've played?
Good question. I played Pinehurst number 2. That was pretty spectacular, but I played it in a hurricane.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't like the best conditions.
Yeah. It was like so difficult. And like, it's already the hardest course ever. Pinehurst number 2 and 30 mile per hour winds made it 10 times harder.
The greens are literally like lightning fast, aren't they?
Yeah, but the thing is, it was raining and wet, so the greens were not that fast. It was just the wind was insane. Tobacco Road is also like, in terms of uniqueness, that one was like, whoa.
I would love to play
so many.
Yeah, it looks super, super nice.
I listened to the Mulligans and Hackers pod that came out yesterday. They had Greg on from the Pinehurst. That's one of the courses this year. They're playing Tobacco Road.
Very cool.
I'm very jealous, and I really want to be a part of their group, but they won't let us.
What is a bucket list course that you'd obviously like to play that you haven't played?
Other than the obvious being Augusta.
Augusta, yeah, St. Andrews, and Pebble.
Well, I mean,
you guess you could say those.
You could do those. It's just there. Augusta. No one's ever going to play. Unless you're Mikey.
Yeah, that's true.
What's that like group of courses out in Oregon?
Abandoned Dunes.
Abandoned Dunes.
Okay.
That Abandoned Dunes just looks so cool.
It does.
That would be one of my bucket list.
Yeah, 100%. So we're here in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, but Abandoned Dunes, I think, I forget the actual like owners of the property that started, but they just opened up one here in Wisconsin, next to us. It's called Sand Valley. You should check that out. So it's Sand Valley Resort, and they call it kind of the Abandoned Dunes of the Midwest.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Probably a little bit cheaper too.
Yeah, a lot cheaper, a lot easier to get to. That is the one downside. Bandon, it's hard to. They're opening up
more
flights. Exactly. Yeah. So Dave, we typically end our podcast with some sort of food related questions. We're gonna send two different questions. If we were to come out in that area, where would you suggest that we go for dinner? And then secondly, if you had like one last meal to eat, whether it's a homemade meal or an actual restaurant, what would you pick?
Well, I'd say if you're coming to Carolina, you should probably get barbecue.
I feel like that was a given.
Yeah. We don't really have too much barbecue here in Minnesota. I mean, we do, but it's not well known. So
have you ever had like good Southern barbecue?
Personally, no.
I've been to St. Louis and I had St. Louis style and
When you have good like home style Southern barbecue, it's life changing. So I'd say,
I could be wrong. Isn't North Carolina kind of like mustardy?
Yeah. So North Carolina is definitely vinegar based.
That's what it is.
And pork, mainly pork is the main meat.
Stop it.
Which it's not my favorite type, but if the place does it right, it's ridiculously good.
Phenomenal.
I definitely like more of like St. Louis or Texas style, but if you're coming to North Carolina, you should try that because that's kind of the staple. So I would say either like Lawrence barbecue or Sam Jones barbecue, one of those two.
Okay.
Get like a good pulled pork with North Carolina style barbecue sauce. You gotta try it.
Stop it. That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Stop it.
And then what would you do for if it was your last dinner, last meal? What are you making something, having a homemade meal, going out to a specific restaurant?
Are you DoorDash in it? I don't know.
DoorDash and order as much.
Definitely not DoorDash.
Somebody just eat like
a bone to pick with them.
No. Yeah.
Honestly, like I, as fancy as it can possibly get in the end, I just like a good old fashioned cheeseburger. So I'd probably, where would I want it from? That's the question. I don't know. I can't think of the exact cheeseburger I'd want, but it would definitely be a cheeseburger and French fries.
What kind of French fries do you like? Or is it like, cause I know like there's like, I guess it all depends on where you go, but like, are you, do you like the sweet potato fries?
No.
Thank God.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I love sweet potato fries, but I like normal fries, but I mean, then there's like curly fries. There's all sorts of different types of fries. So I didn't know if you're getting like the standard American fries that are just like your
tots. Cause I think tots are good. I think tots are like up.
Tots are money too.
Yeah.
I think so. If you have brown sugar, sweet potato fries are good. But that's, you need brown sugar with them.
Otherwise, it's a no-go.
Yeah, otherwise, no-go. I like a little Cajun seasoning on them. So like a waffle curly fry with Cajun seasoning. That's my style.
I skipped over the waffle. I knew I was missing a different type of fry. The waffle fries away.
I was so focused on tot.
The tots are legit too. But it does have to have like some sort of like seasoning on it though.
Yeah.
So that Cajun's kind of that.
I'm good with just salt.
Salt too, yeah.
Like a good salty, crunchy fry.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, we appreciate you hopping on the podcast, and we're definitely gonna take the assessment, and whoever's listening, we'll put that code in there and take the assessment as well. And we'd love to have you on again down the road. Maybe we can get
Chris is the founder.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to try to have we get a couple people on at the same time, and I know it gets a little difficult because interruptions and mm-hmm. you know, so to speak, but love to have you on again down the road. So appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely.
I feel like I just learned so much.
I know.
I hope you did.
That's the whole point of this, right? Is we want to give our listeners information, but we learn too. So that's awesome. So I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, we'll definitely do this again down the road.
Yeah. Just let us know.
Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. We will.
See you guys
later.